What's up, everybody, and welcome back to episode 92 of the Rocket Punchcast. I'm one of your hosts with the hoarsest voice in the world, Cameron, here, alongside my co-host for this evening, Mr. Chris Scott. What's going on?
A horse is a horse, of course.
First and foremost, for people who watched, I think, our Final Fantasy 15 stream last week, probably realized that I was a little bit under the weather on the stream. That is still the case when your boss at work makes you swim in a sea of dust for about 2 hours.
Yeah, right?
At work.
It's certainly not helping.
It doesn't help at all. So voice is a little strained, but that's okay. We're still bringing you awesome podcast stuff here. Unfortunately, for podcast listeners, you're listening to this. For Twitch viewers, you're not watching this live today. More stuff, you know, when, what's that? What, shit rolls downhill? Is that what they say?
Yeah, it's an expression. I think that's what it is.
We tried to stream. Apparently, Nology is having an off day.
Yeah,
today
it's Sunday, man.
Apparently, yeah,
give them a break, right?
The day of rest.
Yeah,
apparently, not only for them but for their network as well.
Yes, indeed.
What was the uploads?
I got it up to 1.04 megs.
Whoa, boy!
I mean, you're not streaming on 1.04. You can upload like a Google Doc or something at 1.04. You know, you're not actually getting any legitimate streaming done at that kind of
speed.
That's true.
If
we had knocked it down to like 240 by 480 or something like that, at 10 frames a minute,
maybe could have got it on there. Maybe could have. But we're still recording the video via video. That's redundant. We're still recording
the video via audio.
This podcast. Via video. See, that's why I got a cough drop in my throat here. So that way, everybody on Twitch and YouTube will still have this video version of the episode live for you guys to watch after the fact. We'll get that up as soon as we can. But other than that, that's been kind of my week.
That's all.
Nothing too serious here. how was yours? Not too bad,
I hope. Not too bad. Obviously, you know, I was real busy last weekend and fun times at the hospital. Yeah, that was.
I don't know if you listened to the episode, but we did give you a shout out.
I did not. You know that I'm okay. A terrible member of the team. I did not.
You actually you record them, so it's like, well, we record them. I know what everybody said.
Right.
But no, we told everybody you were out for a little bit, had some family stuff to take care of, so.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back, though. Glad.
At least... Oh, man, am I glad to be back. I'm glad to not be sitting in the hospital tonight, that is for sure. Ugh, for like 4 days in the hospital.
And see, we get you back, and then Will bails on us.
I know.
He flakes out.
The heck?
No, Will had work tonight, so Will will not be joining us this evening, so it'll just be the dynamic
everybody
duo.
Shake your fist in anger right now, in your car, driving to work, at home, doing the dishes.
There you go. Good job. Good deal. Do it. All right, but with that being said, let's jump right into this episode here. Before we get started, guys, I'm going to give you the housekeeping here. If you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all around come around this table, talk about video games into microphones here. You can listen to us every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice, iTunes, Google Play, all the ones you can find. I think we're trying to get on Spotify. We're going to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Or we're working to get on there.
I looked into the other people who were on Spotify. I feel like we are just as good, if not.
Oh yeah, no,
me.
Yeah.
I was listening to the audio quality and such. I'm like, come on.
it's just a matter. Apparently, there's like this intricate process you have to do to get on there.
Yeah.
So we're just waiting on that. So hopefully, Spotify listeners will get on there.
Come on, for you guys.
Normally, we stream each episode live as we record it over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. Unfortunately, due to internet issues, we could not do that tonight, but every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, you'll be able to catch us there.
Just not this Sunday.
Or next Sunday. We'll get to that. But guys, if you want to find out where all of our content is and what we do, go over to rocketpunchgo.com. That's your one-stop shop for all the content that we do. If you enjoy our content, check it out. You want to help support us even more, you can swing over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. And for as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show and get some awesome swag and exclusive content from the Rock Punch crew in the process here. So that's something that's very, very nice. Speaking of Patreon, for our patrons, I've been a slacker, but unfortunately I cannot be a slacker this week because Will's not here, so I have to edit all the audio. So the Rocket Punch cast episode from the Huntsville Expo will be live this week. Oh. I have to sit here on my computer and edit the rest of the audio, so why not? We edit that one too.
That was a good one.
It was a really good one. I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
We're also, we're still working on the monthly newsletter.
Chris, I will get that out this week.
Okay.
I will get that ready to rock. I'll get it to you for proofread before your trip.
Okay. Ooh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had every intention of knocking it out today. It just didn't happen. But yeah, that's coming this week.
Again, crap downhill.
Yeah.
That's how it always works there.
It's also hard because it's the first one. You know, the first time you create anything, it's like, what do I want this to look like?
But after the first one, it's just like,
oh, yeah, then it's just push them out. You know what I mean? Like, I can BS like the best that there ever was. So I'm fine with typing them up. It's just, I don't know what I want it to say. What statement do you want to make with this thing? So
that's true. Okay.
Working on that. But it'll be out this week. I promise.
For everybody, if you're watching via video on Twitch, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you automatically have Twitch Prime, a free sub you can give to anyone you want. If you don't mind, we would love if you threw it our way. We definitely would appreciate that. If you're listening via audio, we definitely would appreciate it if you rate and review us on that service. So if you're listening via iTunes, Google Play, anything like that, definitely swing over and rate and review us as well. I think this is a good time to put in a plug. Since it's March, we are participating in kind of what the group on Twitter is calling the Pottern Madness. Hashtag Pottern Madness. You can go on there and find their link. It's basically, that's a Twitter handle as well, at Pottern Madness. But we're actually in this like cool little March Madness bracket with a bunch of other podcasters.
It's great because I didn't even know we were in it until round two.
Yeah.
So somehow we won round one without me even voting for myself.
No participation. None at all. But we would definitely appreciate it, guys, if you went to find our specific matchup. That's at Rocket Punch Go. I think we are against the Never Saw That podcast this week. We would definitely appreciate it if you guys go and vote for us in that as well. Those votes, I think, is helping to kind of spread the word on podcasts. And we're trying to get to the top.
Oh, yeah.
The cream of the crop. So definitely go vote for us there. Help us win this week. You have through all of the week. Again, just go over to at Pottern Madness.
Yep.
And you'll need to scroll through their tweets to find the specific
Rocket Punch Go
one.
Yep.
And if you can't find it, then just head over to at Rocket Punch Go on our Twitter handle. We'll be retweeting it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to be retweeting it. So definitely don't worry about that. There. If you have not joined our Discord server, definitely come on down. We'll throw the Discord server chat into our podcast notes. We'll be linking it on our social services as well. But we've got a free Discord server you guys can join in, use for whatever you need to use. We're playing games online, whatnot, with your friends. If you are a patron, you do get exclusive channels nobody else has access to.
Hey-o.
So you nice little game lounge. You can bring your friends in and feel a little snooty and feel better than everybody else in the regular game.
Yeah, have them sit on the velvet couches. And
oh, yeah, they're really nice.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting the mini bar in soon.
For sure.
I'm really excited about that. there. But other than that, upcoming events we've got going on right now, our streaming schedule for this week, if you are listening via audio, this evening, Tuesday night, we will be streaming Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah.
If you have not heard of this game, it's a cool little indie game. It's in early access right now. It's basically the Space Dwarves.
Right.
And you're mining for stuff in this asteroid.
That doesn't even do that justice,
it doesn't.
If you have the chance, go on YouTube and check out the trailer for this thing. It is like Astroneer meets Helldivers, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, it looks like you're mining resources, dealing with threats. There's a lot going on. Four-player co-op. We're hoping to get a few more players in and do four-player, but it'll be at least you and I both in there.
Most definitely. And you could go from one to four. It doesn't have to be full four, but a full four-player team would be great.
Totes.
So if you're interested, definitely tweet us at Rocket Punch Go. We'll grab you in.
Yeah.
And then Friday, you're going to be streaming Kirby Star Allies.
I shall.
I'm excited about that.
Yes.
I'm a big Kirby fan.
Yeah. My wife is a big fan, too, so she'll be joining me on stream as well. So it should be a lot of fun
doing that one.
Yeah.
That'll be definitely good. and, of course, the Huntsville Comic Con, we're going to keep preaching that as well. If you are in the North Alabama area, March 30th and 31st, the Huntsville Comic Con will be going on at the Low Mill Arts and Entertainment Building. Definitely swing by there, check them out. We had a lot of fun last year. Definitely worth checking out again. And I guess it's not an upcoming event, but just giving everyone listening a heads up as well. next week, the week of March 18th, there will not be a new Rocket Punch cast or Tank Spank episode that week. We've got everybody's going all over the place here. Mm. You're going to be hanging out with Trish a little bit before her spring break. I'm going to be out of town, going to visit family. Will's got to take care of his dad, who's going into the hospital as well.
Always fun.
So, yeah, it's always
fun. I do
not
envy him, man. After spending last weekend in the hospital, I do not envy him one bit.
But there will not be any live episodes. So if you're going on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive every Sunday at 8 p.m., we will not be streaming next Sunday on the 18th. But we will be back that next week on the 25th. We're also working to kind of make sure we have some content for you guys to listen to throughout that week, especially if you're a Patreon member. So definitely stay tuned for that. Other than that, that's it. It's it for the housekeeping. That's it. We're done with that. It's not it for the episode. Still got a lot of stuff to do. So first and foremost, as we like to do, let's get into table talk. Now, normally in table talk, we talk about what we've been playing this week, but there was so much big news that came out this week.
Big news.
That we're going to skip that part, and we're going to talk. Our table talk is going to be an overall discussion of, drumroll, the Nintendo Direct. So, Nintendo, I'm sure if you were one of the five people living under a rock this week, Nintendo dropped a new Direct, had a lot of cool games. A huge surprise at the end.
Huge.
A lot of people were hyped up for. Ooh. And we're going to go through some of those and talk about them here. We've got a nice little link. We'll put in the podcast show notes as well for you guys. But we're going to go through here and talk about all the games that they've listed because somebody's already done it for us. Woo.
Woo.
Woo. So first, my voice needs a rest.
Finally.
You start us off here. Turn. I was going to you go through, start us off with some of the news here.
All right. Well, first off, let's get this out of the way because I think everybody here on the podcast would like to move right past this. There was some 3DS stuff announced.
There were.
No disrespect to anybody who's still on the 3DS train, but I'm ready to move. I've already left the station on the Switch Express. So for me, none of this information really meant anything. So we got a new WarioWare game coming out on the 3DS. I liked WarioWare games. I really wish it was coming out on the Switch, personally, because I do think they're fun. They're stupid and silly, really corny little goofy games, but I like them, especially on the Switch, with having both the Joy-Cons and stuff. It's like 1-2 Switch, but even less serious, I mean? I would have been down to get that on the Switch.
Since it came out the first time, it's had its own audience, niche audience. I think it's very popular. That's why they continue to make them.
Right. Well, I'm glad that it's still around. Hopefully, we'll either get a port of that or a different WarioWare here in the next year or two. So that's something that's out. I'm excited for it, but I won't be picking it up for the 3DS, obviously. We got Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers. There's been a few different Dylan's games, I guess, before. Mm-hmm. So this is just another one of those. It's like an armadillo character.
He's the armadillo in the cowboy hat. Mm-hmm. I couldn't follow the story. I've never heard of this character.
I don't know much about him. Apparently, all I know is that this is not his first outing. So
yeah.
But that's a thing that's coming. They're remaking Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. They're adding to that Bowser Jr.'s journey, which is kind of what they did with a different Mario and Luigi. I think it was Superstar Saga or something.
Okay.
They added Bowser's something or other to that. So, we've got all that going on. I loved Mario and Luigi games.
Never played them.
Oh man, they're good. They're really, really, really good. They're really good. They're very Paper Mario-esque. But with a really silly undertone. They're funny, man. I like them. They're fun. There are a lot of good times with those ones. I'm kind of fine with it coming out on the 3DS, though, because I'd like a brand new title for the Switch from the Mario and Luigi saga.
Agree.
I don't really want a remake. I'd rather just give me something brand new. So I'm fine with it. It doesn't really hurt me, and I'm sure it doesn't take... One of the main things that I'm taking away from a lot of these is I was worried that they were still using Nintendo staff to make games for the 3DS. It doesn't seem like they're doing that.
No.
They're using minimal staff, doing a lot of remakes. They're not really devoting any real time or effort to it. So I don't feel like they're taking away staff that should be working on other games.
Yeah.
So for me, none of these really broke my heart. I was fine with it. Last thing for the Switch or for the 3DS is Luigi's Mansion is getting a 3DS remake.
I think this is probably the biggest news on the 3DS side for a lot of fans. Because I know there are a lot of fans of Luigi's Mansion out there.
I like Luigi's Mansion. Yeah. I have Dark Moon, so... I wish it was coming to the Switch, but I'm fine with it. I'd rather see it and Dark Moon as like a combo pack for the Switch if we were going to do that at all. But again, kind of similar to the Mario and Luigi games, I'd be fine if they just dropped it and gave me a new one.
Yeah, like brand Switch. New in the series. I think that would be best. Like, nobody's hurting really bad for a new Luigi's Mansion game.
Right.
So they have the time to make whatever they need to make.
Absolutely. So that knocks out the 3DS stuff. You know, like I said, the main takeaway that I got out of it is don't worry, we're not actually pursuing this console. Yeah. Like, there'll be a few other things for the last minute holdouts that are still playing their 3DSs and are very happy. But for anybody with a Switch, you're getting cool stuff. Don't worry about it. And by the way, here's some of the cool stuff you're about to get. So, we got Okami is getting an HD, the HD remake that recently came out. They're getting that over on the Switch.
Feel really bad because I bought it on PS4. Now it's on the Switch.
Mistake!
Bought it on Switch. That's, oh, my God.
That sucks because I almost did the same thing and I did not. And it wasn't because I was consciously thinking Switch. I just didn't happen to pick it up. Yep. So, very similar to you picking up this LA Valiant jersey that you're wearing today. I'll be picking up my Overwatch jersey that's nice and hand-stitched.
Oh my God. Literally 2 days after I put the order in, I've been holding out for weeks. The authentic jersey comes out. Like, but at least I do get one of my favorite Overwatch professional players soon.
Yes.
I do get his name. The authentic ones do not have the names on them.
Really?
They do not. They're only the standard ones with no name.
Well, okay. Then that's kind of cool. Then I would say, then I don't know that I will buy the nicer one. Because
believe me,
I think I'd rather have the name on it.
I would rather have the name on it, too. Believe me, within like a month or two, they're going to make the authentic jersey that's $100 right? with the name on it.
Right.
Is Cameron going to buy another one? Probably. But
oh, no.
I can frame this one and wear the authentic one.
Let's stay on the train of ports coming to the Switch. Okay. So we've got a port of Undertale. Finally coming to the Switch. Very excited because I am one of the last holdouts who hasn't played Undertale.
I haven't played it either.
No
yeah,
way!
No, I've never played
we
Undertale.
We are the worst.
Apparently, I don't know. My head can't wrap around that game.
So. I know a lot of Undertale stuff from Game Theory because they've done so much on Undertale. So I feel like I know Undertale very well, but I'm looking forward to finally getting my hands on it. I'm looking forward to finally digging in and enjoying that one. I've heard nothing but good things about it. Really going to be a good one there. We're getting the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
That was a little bit of a surprise.
It was a gigantic surprise. I didn't see it coming at all. But maybe it's because I'm just so used to Nintendo consoles not getting ports.
Well, it's not so much of a surprise for how well the trilogy did on PS4.
It did great.
It charted, like, it was in, like, the number one selling game, I think, in Europe when it came out. And number two, it's an Activision title.
Right.
It's not Sony, it's Activision. They have the license, so they can put it on whatever they want to.
Isn't Tim Gettys a big Crash Bandicoot fan?
Tim Gettys of Kinda Funny is a huge Crash Bandicoot fan.
So he must have been losing his mind.
Oh, I'm sure. I gotta watch the video of their reactions to this. I'm sure but it makes sense. You put Crash, this property that's never been on a Nintendo console, and it's all three original games, and it's portable.
It's great. I'm getting it. Like, I did not get it for the PS4 because I didn't care, but now that I can get it and have it mobile, and you guys know how big of a deal I've made out of that 100 times on the Switch.
It's mobile.
Ooh. Like, forget it. I'm done. I'm getting it. Day one, I will be there.
Okay.
Take my money. Fried meme is applicable. We're getting Little Nightmares.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I was so excited.
Yes.
That was great.
You haven't bought the game yet.
No, so, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Definitely. If you have not played Little Nightmares, number one, go. I'm pretty sure I archived it. Watch the stream over on our YouTube channel.
What a great stream.
That was great.
Absolutely a great stream. Every once in a while, you get one of those streams. For you people listening who have done streams before, you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, every once in a blue moon, you have a stream where it's just everything clicks.
Yep.
The game is great. The interaction in chat is great. Everything just works really, really, really well. That was a great stream.
That was. And that, funny enough, like, we played through the entire game on that stream.
It was great.
Like, is it?
You couldn't put it down. Yeah. You were only going to do 2 hours or whatever. It was like, no.
No, keep going.
We're good. We're going to keep going here.
But definitely, I was really excited about that.
Yeah, that is awesome. So for anybody who hasn't had a chance to play it, and that's
the it's the complete edition as well, so you will get the DLC.
Which is cool.
Which we haven't played yet.
We haven't.
Maybe for Halloween we'll get the DLC.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, that's a long way. Again, though, I guess we can play it on Switch, so I guess I'd be fine with that. That's probably where I'm going to
Well, but when's it come out? They didn't announce a date, did they?
It says May 18th, actually.
Okay, so... Yeah. So for May, June, July, August, September, 5 months.
Yeah.
There's enough games that can fill that void.
I don't think we're going to have to deal with that, no problem.
Yeah.
We're getting South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
I was surprised at this at first, but then I'm like, no, I shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be, right? A lot of people were really surprised, and it's really like, no, you really shouldn't be. If they're getting Doom on the Switch, bets are off. We're ready, M-rated. Let's go.
It's not even that. I shouldn't be surprised because of Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
True, also.
Because that was an Ubisoft title, and it sold so well, they're like, oh, what other Ubisoft properties can we bring over that will work on the Switch? Assassin's Creed, eh. Far Cry, eh. South Park?
Yeah, right. Well, I'm down. That's another one that I really intended to buy, and I never got around to it. So, you know, this is my chance to pick it up on something that I know I'll actually play it on.
Yes.
I think that does it for ports. We've got Dark Souls Amiibo that they're coming out with the Praise of the Sun stance situation going on there. Kind of adorable. I thought it was pretty funny.
That was really
cool.
I
might get it just to put on my shelf, I'll be honest.
And they did announce...
if it's not sold out already. I heard it's sold out already some places. Really?
Of course. It's what? So, Solterra of Astera, something like that?
Yeah.
I think it's dead. Praise the Sun. But what's cool about this is there will be a network test beta. So for people who maybe have never played Dark Souls before, as they talked about in the stream, you'll be able to try the game out and help test the network ahead of the game's release. I don't think they have a date for that yet, but they're going to release some of that information as we get closer to it.
Gotcha.
But I know a lot of people are excited about Dark Souls for the Switch. So.
I am not excited at all. I can't.
I'm trying. I've still got Bloodborne on the...
I need easy modes all day long. Not me. We're getting Sushi Striker. I don't know what that is.
It is. It's bad. I feel kind of bad, but not really. This game actually looked interesting to me. The game premise is basically you...
Fruit Ninja? Fruit Ninja?
No. Hank, bear with me here on the story, but apparently you are in a world where sushi is forbidden.
Oh.
And you are learning the way of Sushido.
Oh.
And it's this weird thing where you have to, like, it's you when you're fighting against somebody else, and you have to, like, it's like the Japanese, like, sushi trays, little conveyor belts that pop up, you know, those restaurants?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you have these conveyor belts, and you like, start matching different types of sushi, like, the same sushi on one plate. And then once you build your plates high enough, you start shooting them at your enemy, and that deals damage to them. And there's like this puzzle game mechanic. You have to watch the video. Watch the Nintendo Direct.
I have to watch the video.
It looked kind of interesting.
So many places with that description. I'm so lost.
For some reason it looked interesting to me, but I'm curious to see how this game does. Most definitely.
Octopath Traveler got a release date.
Woo! July 13th.
Yeah, very exciting.
I've already pre-ordered the Wayfarer's Edition.
Oh, yeah?
On Amazon, yep.
Cool.
I've played through at least a good chunk of the demo. I want to finish it, but... It's an RPG, which is a check for me.
Did you play through as both characters?
No, just the one.
Yeah, I got to the final boss of one character, and that guy has kicked my butt so many times, and I cannot beat it. And I'm like... I don't know, man. I'm kind of worried because I had no problem getting to him, and then I got to him, and I'm like, I immediately regret this. This guy's way harder than everybody
else. See, I haven't even gotten that far yet, but it's an RPG. I like the art style, and it's from Square Enix. So
yeah, you were
check.
You were sold.
I'm full in.
You were sold at the announcement video.
Yeah, I was 100% was.
Anyway, so July, super excited. I'll probably get it for my birthday, so that's exciting.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. We got No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again. They went into that a little bit.
Do not care about that game at all. I'm sorry.
I mean, I just don't know enough about it. I might care someday.
My brother was a big fan of when the game first came out back on the Wii, I think.
It was a Wii.
Yeah, because you used the motion controls.
Yes,
but
you did.
I did not care either way about this game. But it's cool. That's kind of making a comeback.
Hey, I mean, you know, everybody's got their style of game. So for those who care, that was talked about some more. They mentioned co-op. They mentioned sharing Joy-Con controllers. You know, that's a thing, but they still, it'll be out this year, but they still don't have an exact date. Captain Toad was announced and dated. Yep. So we're getting a Switch version of Treasure Tracker. I think it's different though, right?
Super Mario Odyssey levels right. on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's coming out July 13th. Kind of exciting. You know, I don't know about it. I might be into it, I might not. I know I was really intrigued by it when it was out on the Wii U, but obviously, you know, nobody had a Wii U. You
yeah.
know? Wii U's mom had a Wii U. But we got ARMS Open Tournament. They mentioned that. Yeah. I know they're about done with DLC for that game,
right? I think the DLC is more or less done now.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of highlighted the tournaments that they're going to be hosting for the game. So that's kind of cool.
Hey.
That they're at least doing tournaments for it.
Yeah, I'm down. It did pretty well, I think, you know.
It was over 1 million.
Yeah.
Is one of their pretty good for a brand new IP on a Nintendo console.
Mm-hmm. So. With such a wacky concept, too.
Yep. I had fun with it. It's a cool little game. I even like one of the few games I actually like the motion controls and how they're implemented. So
I get my butt kicked too much, so I don't like it.
I hate this game. Get out of here.
Yeah, when Jerry beat me at the Nintendo Switch event in Chicago when we went prior to the Switch launch, and he beat me just single-handedly, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be picking that one up.
We're done. What's the next game?
Mario Tennis Aces was dated June 22nd on that one.
Yes.
Pretty excited for that.
Had kind of showed a majority of the characters that are going to be there and kind of talked about some of the new features.
Mm-hmm.
I watched like kind of the new hits you can do where you like these power shots and these other shots you can do. And it was nice that not only did they talk about these moves, but if you felt that they were starting to get too complicated, then they were at the end, they were like, oh, well, don't worry. There's a basic mode. So if you just want to do normal shots,
right,
you can set basic mode. And do that. So that's pretty cool.
It is cool that they offer both. I'm going to have to learn how to play the hardcore way, though. I really want to. I'm excited. I want to
build up your stamina wheel and just.
Yeah, let's do this. And then I think. Splatoon 2 got a version 3.0 update as well as a paid DLC expansion where it's a single player. I am more interested in Splatoon 2 than I ever have been before.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that looked cool. And if they do it right, because they said it's $25 or something like that.
It's $20.
Is it just 20?
For the expansion? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, they, you know, I'm hoping that it feels meaty. That's what I'm waiting for. So I'm not going to buy it until I hear that it's very meaty. It's a okay. full-fledged expansion. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of, you know... Because the multiplayer is great, but I'm not going to... I know me. You know what I mean? I'm just not a multiplayer guy. I'll play with you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm not going to go out of my way to play, like, versus stuff. I don't play Battlefield. I don't play
COD. I'm pretty sure most people don't unless it's one of those, like, voting events.
Yeah.
Like between Pearl and Myrna.
Right.
In which case, Myrna should win every time.
But... Obviously. I mean, so. Come on. Get out of here, Pearl Trash. I know a certain person by the name of Darth Turner who would agree vehemently.
Yes,
So anyway, I'm more interested than ever. If it's really, really meaty content, I will buy this multiplayer focus game just to be able to also buy the DLC for it to get yes. the single player. It's the weirdest feeling I've had in a while. I probably need to see a doctor. Lastly, though. I think most importantly, coming out of left field,
yeah.
we get the Inklings. They're running along. They're doing their thing. They're attacking each other. And then all of a sudden, the screen goes dark. And then we got Inkling Girl looking up at this fiery ball in the sky that turns out to be Smash Brothers for the Switch.
Yay!
Oh my gosh. First off, greatest announcement of all
time. I agree. The way that trailer was set up. Was great.
Man, that was intense. Nintendo marketing knocking it out of the park yep, yet again. 100%. They are just out of control anymore.
I especially liked, like, it. Like she looks and you zoom into her eye and you see the logo.
It was sick, right?
I've watched so many reaction videos of people when, like, it goes into focus. They're like, oh my god, ah! And they're losing their shit. And Then they not only do they show the logo, but you see the silhouettes of like Mario.
Every single YouTuber is doing a video on like, who is this? Who is that? Who can all these characters be in the background? It's like, so it's clickbait heaven right now in the YouTube space for that. You know, it's like, who could this be? Could that be Slippy Toad? It's like, come on.
You know, what was cool is that because
even Donkey did a video.
Oh, God. I gotta watch that. Because of Link, it was Breath of the Wild Link. This is making me think that this will not be a port, because we talked about this. I thought it was going to be, if they were going to bring Smash Brothers, it was going to be just like Smash Brothers for the Wii U, but they bring it over to the Switch. They just port it, add new characters and whatnot. When they showed the silhouette of Mario and then of Link, it was Breath of the Wild Link, which I'm like, is this a brand new entry? Oh, I'll be okay.
There's been a lot of confusion on that. To me, it seemed very clear that it was going to be brand new.
When I saw Link and at the end of the trailer, that's what I thought,
too. The whole time. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is not a port, is it? Because I feel like if it was a port, they would have just been like, it's a port. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to hype up a port.
Plus, they have the Inkling kids in there, too, and they weren't in the Wii U version.
Right, and technically, you could add the Inkling kids, too, just like they did with Mario Kart or whatever. Okay. You know what I mean? You could just throw those in as like, oh, definitive edition, and it comes with the Inkling kids. Like, you could easily do that, but I didn't get the indication that that's what they were doing at all. That was a reveal trailer. Okay. That was not a, guess what? We learned how to port this game over, too. You know what I mean? It was ballsy.
What maybe adding to the confusion as well is the fact that the date, it's apparently coming out this year.
I know.
Which is kind of crazy to me.
Mm. Well, I guess then somebody else worked on the last one is what the defense has been this whole time. That Team Ninja or whatever or something worked on it, right?
Okay, I didn't know.
It was Bandai Namco or something that worked on the current Smash iteration that we have.
Okay.
So HAL Laboratories was not working on it, so people are like, well, they must have been working on this in tandem the whole time doing their thing for the Switch, and that's why they were able to get it out as quickly as they have. So,
well, even that, for me, 2018, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. This is going to be... I know I've heard talks, especially with the online service coming out this year, that a lot of people were talking about they've got to have a game to launch alongside the online service to get people to buy
in.
The game you get.
You think?
100%. If it's 2018, as long as they stick to that date, it's going to be whenever the online service launches. It will be day and date.
Yeah.
Online service is live. Here's Super Smash Brothers. And make it even better. Buy Super Smash Brothers and get like a free month. Because it's like 20 bucks a year and you get a free month. That's nothing to them. But
Is that official? 20 bucks a year?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Let me double check.
Yeah, because I know it was a lot of rumor on the 20 bucks a year, but that there was still so much gray area in there that they might be adding in like the ability to, you know, rent out a title for Super Nintendo or whatever or some titles from the virtual console.
You still do that.
I didn't know if that was all official, because it feels like an eternity ago that they were having these conversations. I didn't know if it was.
So I would probably bet September 2018. So sometime in September is when the game's going to come out.
September's like right around the corner. You were just saying October's right around the corner for Little Nightmares. Yep. Can you imagine September if this game was out?
12-month membership is $19.99.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing the price, I'm like, fuck, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like, here's my money.
And isn't that nuts, though? Because I also would gladly give you, and I don't even use it. I don't play anything on the Switch online.
Mm-hmm.
I would gladly give you 20 bucks a year for an online service where I don't have PS4 PS Plus or Xbox Live Gold. I don't have either one. I'm like, I have a PC. Why would I
do that? Those combined is $20 a month.
Yeah.
So,
or $120 a year, you know, for the two of them.
Yep. It. I think the other reason why the game could come out around the same time as well is I don't think the engine is going to be vastly different from the Wii U version. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple of touch-ups here and there and some details, but other than that, I mean, the Smash Brothers has never been like a huge graphical powerhouse.
No.
To kind of go out of its way there. So I think the Wii U version, graphic-wise, it was very perfect. Maybe just, you know, tighten up some of the wrinkles under Mario's eyes. Mm-hmm. You're fine. You're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need... And let's be honest, nobody's playing it for the graphics. You know what I mean? Get the thing running at 60 frames per second. Get those controls tight. Give me the ability, apparently, to put the GameCube controller on there.
Get
because
that, no.
That's absolutely the most important thing in the world.
Cut the cord. Come into the future. God.
I am just... you know what would be interesting? You know what would be interesting, honestly? So, it would be interesting if they come out with something else at E3. If they come out with some sort of Joy-Con that are shaped like GameCube controllers for people to be able to... No. I would be interested
what,
to
what they're going
to
do is tell people, no GameCube controller support. Don't want to use the Joy-Cons? Get the Pro Controller.
Listen, you know me. I'm with you 110% on this. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. No console in the history... There's never been a game that required you to carry over a controller from console generation to console generation. It's absolutely insane to think
that's a 10-plus-year-old controller. Get rid of it.
Yes,
it's done.
Yes, it is time. It's time to move on. I'm sorry, everybody on the face of the planet, but you're going to have to move on.
That doesn't help people get better.
The Switch is great.
Like, you just plug in the same controller from 10 years ago if you're a competitive player? No. New game, new controller. If you're the best, get good.
Right? Dude, I got one other thing before we move on, right? I'm at Best Buy yesterday, okay. Right? For the first time in years, okay? Years, there was a line to play the Switch. I haven't been to Best Buy to see a line to what? Play the demo station for a console since early days of PS4.
Holy crap. What were they playing?
Breath of the Wild.
Okay, that's a good game.
Oh, great game. Don't get me wrong. I see why there was a line, but I was amazed. I'm like, that right there shows you this console's not even getting started yet.
Yeah, no.
None of these people in line own the console. You know what I mean? Because they wouldn't be standing in line to play it if they had one at home.
That's true.
I played the PS4 at Best Buy a dozen times before I finally bought my PS4. Because I didn't get it until the Destiny bundle came out.
Yep.
So I was about a year into it before I finally got it. So it's just crazy to see all these people that definitely don't have the console. You know what I mean? It's like, man, this console is... It is so... In its infancy right now. It's just going to be incredible to see where it goes from here.
I was curious going into this Nintendo Direct as to, like, I think we talked about it last week. You weren't here. Will and I were like, what is this? What is Nintendo going to do? Like, all we know really about their games this year is Yoshi and Kirby, and those are great characters, but when you're coming off a year of Mario and Zelda,
oh yeah,
it's going to be really hard. Like, what do they have the rest of the year? And now hearing not only Super Smash Brothers coming out this year, but also other games that are in the slate. We got a date for Octopath Traveler. That's right. The name of the game, which is smart. Like, just take the project off, keep the name what it is. But some of the other games...
People hate the name what it is. The internet's like, come on, man. Use your creativity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stretch it out just a little bit. Octopath Traveler is a terrible name. That sounds like a project.
That doesn't sound
like a game name.
They'll live with it. It's fine. The problem is that's what the game became synonymous with. So
yeah, maybe that was the mistake all along.
Because you didn't want it
as Untitled Project.
Yeah, if it had been Untitled, you could have made it whatever you want. But because you were saying Project Octopath Traveler, now you got to keep the name.
Yeah,
it keeps relevance for people.
That's true.
But just with some of the games we talked about, I'm excited for the remainder of the year. Really excited for the Switch.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, people could see these as ports, but a lot of these ports, we're excited because we can take them on the go, and that also puts in the possibility of what other games can possibly be ported. You know, the age-old question, is it on the Switch? Every time a new game comes out, and so that makes the future very bright for Nintendo, I think.
I think Nintendo has a lot to be excited about right now.
Yeah.
I'm excited for them after the debacle that the Wii U was. It's just amazing to see what it's turning out to bounce back to be.
Yep. Agreed. So, that was table talk.
Yeah. Sorry.
Some good table talk.
Yeah, a lot of good
information.
That was
good table talk.
Right?
I didn't be sorry about there. But now, let us get into the topic of the show.
It's crazy because I have a bunch to say.
You have a bunch to say.
Topic one is great.
I probably could say a lot more if my voice wasn't cutting in and out.
Please.
But we got a lot of cool news this week. I think it would behoove me to mention for all the FPS shooters out there, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 was finally revealed this week. That was cool. Got the Nintendo Direct, got Smash, got a lot of information there. But I think one of my favorite announcements... The Division 2 is real.
Yeah.
It exists.
It does.
We will be hearing more about it at E3 this year.
Man, I cannot wait till freaking E3. Do you remember when the original Division was announced at E3?
I remember it being at E3, but I don't remember like the whole thing about it.
Oh my gosh, graphics, bro. When that game was announced, the graphics that were shown off for that game were like PS5 level graphics. Oh, yeah, right? Came out and the graphics were just like jaw-dropping. You got this one picture. I remember because I was working at the bank or something, right? Mm-hmm. You had this one picture of one of the Division agents standing in a alleyway, right? And he's looking down this like dirty alleyway. There's snow and trash on both sides or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just like a nasty looking alleyway in New York or whatever. I was bringing that to people and I was like, real or fake? And I'm telling you, half of those people could not tell the difference. It was crossing an uncanny valley. It was so real. People were like, wow, that is what this, you know what I mean? That's what we have to look forward to.
And now we have the PS4 Pro. We have the Xbox One X.
Oh, yeah.
Very hyped.
GTX 1080 Ti's.
What? And there you go. I'm probably this time around, probably going to get it on PC because I know you'll play it on PC.
I will play it on PC, but that's one of the things I want to talk about.
Well, let's talk about it here, guys. Division 2 is announced. I was trying to get the press release to go over that real quick, but I basically gave the information. They just basically showed a logo and said, it's real. It exists.
That's it.
Massive Entertainment, the guys that did the first one, is doing the second one along with a lot of other help.
Right.
From like six other studios.
They know what they've got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't know what they had with the first one. And when it launched and it did as well as they did, they were just like, they had no idea how to handle it.
We're going to talk about that because our question we're going to ask for topic number one is really what we want from the Division 2.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, because I know Will's not even here, but I can speak for him. All three of us have been big fans.
Yeah.
Of the Division.
Loved it.
With the new updates coming out, I've been like, man, I kind of want to jump back in.
I told you I'd jump in on a heartbeat. In fact, I think it was on PC really cheap recently. I forgot to tell you. Yeah, we'll have to look it up because I think it's either really cheap right now or it's something that is going on sale.
If you have it, times. You have it for PC, right?
I do.
If it, I'll check. And on
it
the
does
sale.
Look fucking. Sorry for my language, but wow.
it is a really
phenomenal looking game.
So we're just gonna sit down and talk like what we really want from this game, and I think this is a very interesting game because before we get started, kind of piggybacking off your point. When you were talking about like when this game came out, Ubisoft didn't know what they had. I think they did. It's just the fact that it was that kind of like a lot of games and services are kind of were trending at that time after Destiny and whatnot. Like they had a huge flash in the pan. I think the Division kept their player base more involved because they, unlike Bungie and Destiny, which they could have learned from Ubisoft, they were much more communicative. When issues were shown, they were immediately out like, hey, we see these issues. We're going to start working on a path to getting these out. They have their own podcast.
I couldn't disagree with you anymore. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You couldn't disagree?
No, absolutely not. I'm not agreeing with you. No, you don't remember because you were console. You don't remember the days of the Dark Zone. You don't remember when the Dark Zone went to like the beyond the Dark Zone.
I do not remember this.
Oh my gosh, man. The cheating was outrageous. So the problem that they made, this is my number one thing they gotta fix. Dedicated servers. Everything needs to be dedicated servers like they just did finally with For Honor.
I thought they had it for the Division.
No.
Really?
No, they did not. And they had it all. Everything was client-based. So all of your character stats and everything were loaded through your computer, meaning that you could edit everything that happened with your particular character. Well, because of that, cheating was outrageous. All you had to do was just manipulate, you know, a few lines of code here or there or whatever, and now you're blipping across the map at 8 million miles an hour, and you have the ability to fire off an entire clip of ammo in one click. Like just done. Like, your whole clip would just drop when one bullet should have come out, all 30 or 50 or 80 or whatever your clip was at the time. So you would have people just blipping across the map like, you know, the Flash, and it would just show up in front of you, done. You would just immediately fall to the ground. You wouldn't even see the characters. You would just see skulls on the map because the people had gone rogue. And you'd be like, uh-oh, there they are. Boom, it's too late. You're gone.
Yeah,
it's
see, over. I didn't have to worry about that. That is a PC thing, yeah.
They have got to figure that out. And they left us in the dark for a long time on that.
PC, wow.
Yeah, because they just couldn't come up with a solution. They weren't willing to throw out the ban hammer. So bans were few and far between. You know, so where Overwatch, for instance, you do something like that on Overwatch, Blizzard has absolutely no qualms whatsoever in taking you out. They'll just be like, goodbye, give us another $60. Good luck to you next time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, every time. They won't give you short bans of a week or two. Where Ubisoft didn't know how to handle it. So they started throwing out week-long bans or two-week-long bans or whatever. It wasn't doing anything. It wasn't stopping the problem at all.
I'll go play something else and I'll come back.
Yeah, I'll come right back to it. People were having so much fun taking people out so quick. It was just like you completely ruined the whole concept of the Dark Zone. So I was so excited to get into Dark Zone content. Meanwhile, it was like totally against me from the beginning. Like, there was no way to play fair.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that truly, truly, truly ruined the game for me because I was enjoying it so much. I played the junk out of all PvE content, and as soon as I got to the point where there was nothing left to do but PvP, I was like, guess I wait for the next patch. You know what I mean? I wait for the next DLC drop because there's just no sense left for me here.
Will and myself having a lot of fun in the Dark Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a lot of fun to be had, but again, as well as the game was, and actually, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you ever read it, either myself or Will, we have a review of the original Division
mm-hmm.
on our website. It's still on one of our articles, so we actually reviewed the game.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely give that a read and tell us what you thought.
Okay.
Taking it back like 2 years ago when it first launched. But the game has come a long way, I know, with a lot of updates and whatnot. From my understanding, Ubisoft have been much more communicative mm-hmm. with the community. They've got a podcast you can listen to now.
Oh, yeah. No, they've gotten a lot better now. But the first 3 months of the game or whatever, three or 4 months, when PC needed that voice, they needed to be heard, they were not heard. Yeah.
And maybe
Ubisoft was just not ready for that game to take off as high as it did.
Maybe that was because they probably didn't know how to handle
They did
that type of game.
They didn't, and I don't necessarily fault them for that. I think everybody was still learning. Like you said, Destiny had just come out the year prior or whatever. Like everybody was they saw the success of Destiny, and everybody wanted a piece of that. But at the same time, like everybody was like, "How do you do it though? How do you do it right?"
People were like, "Do you understand the work that goes involved with having success like this?"
Even players, you know, because in Destiny, you're a space person, right? You're out in space, you're doing space things. It's the future, you know what I mean? Like it's disconnected from reality. Where this game is obviously very grounded in reality. Division is, you know, you're fighting humans the whole time. There shouldn't be anything different about it. Well, you'd have a lot of outcry from the community who are like, I'm getting headshots, but these people are still alive. And you're like, are you really complaining about that? Did you not know what this game was? You know what I mean?
I understood people's responses to that, but it made no sense. Like, dude, okay, then let's make all the enemies one-shot kills because they're real people.
Right.
Like, they have to give you some type of challenge now. If, as I think some of these games as services can learn, if they start learning from, I think as Destiny started doing, from MMOs like World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy 14, of like how boss and dungeon encounters can go, where you have mechanics that add in, that would be cool. If you really want to get around the realism, then why don't you just freaking put, there's an armor bar. Mm. And so instead of it all being health,
right,
you have these huge enemies have armor,
right,
and you start hitting you have three full bars of armor, so
right,
you take one bar down, it goes into phase two, then you take the other one, it's phase three, and then once you take the armor off, make it as a cool little challenge, like his armor's off, so now start pelting with bullets and he goes down pretty quick,
right?
But that's me.
Yeah, I hear you. I was surprised at how many people had a problem with that. I was like, I thought we all knew what we were signing up for here. Like, I knew from day one this was Destiny in New York, you know what I mean? Like, I got it.
Yep.
I was excited for it. I was like, yes! more Destiny, you know what I mean? Kind of like I was when Destiny 2 came out and turned out to be nothing like what I wanted it to be. You know what I mean? I was just like, I was craving it. I still am, Cameron. I still am. Agree. I love that style of game. I love it. It's like World of Warcraft, but in first-person shooter and stuff, or third-person shooter, or whatever. Like, I'm in. You sold me. Let's go. Look,
when I saw this, I was super like, oh, man, I'm so pumped.
How many hours do you think you put into the first one?
Ooh, I don't...
Because I put excess of 60 for sure.
I would probably say 30 to 50.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. We put a lot of time into it. We did a lot of streaming over Incredible Threat and stuff. I had a lot of good times with that. We loved it. I really, really, really liked that game. I can't wait. One thing kind of like piggybacking off of you, another thing I want is, like you said, with instances, having more mechanics in the instances and stuff like that. Similar to the problem that I had with Destiny 1. It felt like there was plenty of mechanics in the raids. There was lots of stuff you had to do in certain orders in the raids. But in any of the nightfalls or whatever, like the strikes, they did not have fleshed out
They don't
at
have
all.
To be as complicated. Just like in World of Warcraft.
Right.
You have mechanics. You gotta They're not learn. As complicated. In dungeons, they help you to get to raids. Where in dungeons, you like, okay, you give each class 1 to 2 mechanics they got to worry about.
Right.
When you get to the raid, that's when you start giving them the complicated stuff where you got to do 3 or 4 things you got to worry about here.
Right.
When you see this, you got to call it out and you got to move out of there or something like that.
Yep.
Or, you know, in the division, when you see the boss do this move or make this call, he looks at you, he's going to throw a smoke grenade, so you need to get out of the way, otherwise you're going to get hit with tear gas.
Right.
And it's a dot.
Right.
You're going to take unnecessary damage.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I 100% agree that I think that as Destiny did with Destiny 2 to some extent, there needs to be an evolution of mechanics, not only for the larger raid areas, which Division just has the Dark Zone, so really kind of there's, what are they called? Scenario?
Yeah, right?
Something like that.
I think they were.
Which they weren't. I will definitely say, comparatively from the Division and Destiny, I think the Division had much more mechanics in theirs. Mm-hmm. The one I remember is the first one when you go in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, you more or less, like, you're hiding behind cover.
Yeah.
While he's throwing enemies your way, and you're kind of just, like, getting into a different corner to pick him off. Like, right. It still could flesh it out a little bit more.
Yeah. So, I would like to see more mechanics in any of the scenario type parts. Also, I had a question that I wanted to ask you. So, I don't know where I stand on this. Do you want to stay in New York at a different time of year? Or do you want to move to a different city in the same time of year? Because the premise behind the game, for those of you who don't know, is that Black Friday just occurred.
Yep.
And the money that was used on Black Friday has been, like, tainted with a virus. And that virus spreads like wildfire.
The dollar flu, as they call it.
And it spreads like wildfire. People are dying on the regular. It's ridiculous. And in mass, you know what I mean? Like, to the point where the city basically shuts down. It can't possibly stem the amount of virus in that city.
Yep.
So it quarantines the entire city off. New York City. Quarantine, nobody comes in or out kind of thing, and it's like, all right, we have these agents, these sleeper cells inside New York that now have to bring order to the chaos that the city has now fallen under due to this virus situation. So in terms of storyline, it's kind of hard for me, you know, because I'm looking at it like, eventually you would think they would have had to get it under control, and eventually they would get to the point where they figure everything out, everything gets cleaned up, and they open back up the city, or they, you know, burn down the city because they can't do anything with it, and sorry you guys, you didn't make it. It's just like, how long would that have to go on? Are we still going to be fighting the cleaners in spring, summer, fall of that year? You know what I mean? Like, at what point do they go, this isn't working, you know? Like, I'm just curious, storyline-wise, where they're going to go with it. Or do you go with, let's do it from Boston, let's do it from L.A., let's do it from some other city? Because you have to think that this probably was a coordinated attack. It probably wasn't something that they only focused on New York. There's a good chance that another, or maybe somewhere else, London, somewhere else in, you know, an allied
London
type.
London would be cool.
You know? So I love the snowy textures and everything, and they did such a good job with the graphics. When it snows and it, like, clouds over. Over and everything, and there's like a haze added to it. I'm telling you, there were some times where my jaw was on the floor at those visuals.
I like the tone that the Division had in New York City, kind of what you're talking about with the snow and the kind of fall winter-esque time frame. I liked kind of especially the customizations where you had your jacket mm-hmm. and your long pants mm-hmm. and your beanie and stuff like that. I like that theme. And part of me wants to kind of keep that theme, maybe move it out of New York and move it into some other big city. Mm-hmm. Chicago.
Right.
Would be a good one. London would also be a really cool one. That'd be really cool to see. I don't know if I would necessarily want to go to a place and have it like in the summer or something in a hot, I don't know. There's something about me like now we're getting in shorts and I like this, like that doesn't seem very tactical to me.
Right.
I feel like it throws the theme off.
Right.
When you're having like a summer or kind of a hotter time frame.
I gotcha. Yeah. So I feel the same way. I think that I'd rather, because I don't even storyline wise, like I said, I just don't know how you'd shoehorn it in. Just like, how long is this going to be a situation in New York? What is Washington going to do with it? You know what I mean? Like, you can't just keep it quarantined forever. You know what yeah. I mean? You got to figure something out. So it's just like, I don't know. How long would that be an issue before finally we were just like, listen.
No, like
Escape from New York style.
Like Destiny as well. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they kept it in New York and they kept it during... Because New York's big and what? They only have like a section of New York?
True.
If they moved it into like a... Because this is the whole city or something like... Oh, maybe yeah. they move it to another section
yeah.
of New York mm-hmm. that we haven't experienced. I would be okay with that just because of the way the story plays out. It's a games as a service, so there's not really an end to the game.
True. Per se. True, but I feel like if you're going to do that, that's DLC. I feel like if you're doing a whole new game, it needs to be in a new locale. It can be the same time of year, but I want you to not have to reuse all the same assets. I want something new. You know what I mean? I'm down with the snow, because like I said, you guys, they nailed it. They nailed that snowy area. I don't know what it looked like on consoles, but I cranked my PC up to max beyond max.
I heard the PC version was really nice.
Oh my gosh, Cameron. There was... Sometimes I just couldn't even believe what I was looking at. It was so cool looking. It was just a phenomenal game. I just can't say it enough how excited I am. Division 2. Let's
super,
go.
Super pumped. Super pumped. Some of the things that I had on the list here, you took a lot of them. I'm glad to, because... As you can tell, voices going in and out. Better implementation of the Dark Zone. For me, I really feel like the Dark Zone was cool, but it still kind of had like, it could have been better.
How so? Give me an example. What would you change about it? Because it was awfully cool. I like the PvPvE concept. Love that because I'm not a PvP guy. I don't like just going in and being like, oh, you got me. Not to mention, I don't put enough time into the games to get
that
good at that.
I would agree. If it had been PvP, I would.
But PvPvE, when there's other objectives going on and there's other stuff happening and you guys are all racing to the same point and you got to deal with each other and the enemies, I'm in, man. There were often times where I would go in solo and hook up with other people. You know, and group with other people. You know what I mean? Like, you group That's with cool. total strangers to start taking out objectives. That was cool, man. What a great concept.
I think I like the concept. I think more of just expanding on the concept a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily like the Dark Zone's bad, but expanding more on maybe have some like maybe specific more additional quests, more NPCs and stuff. Because mm-hmm. I felt like some of the, at least on console, like some of the NPC generation was kind of eh. Mm. Although I think like the PvPvE concept, fighting each other's where you could be on the team and help each other, but then they could take you out. That was cool.
Yes.
Because there were some like close matches with like Will and myself where we're pinned in and we're just basically hunkered down trying to fight whoever we could while we're waiting for the helicopter to come take us out.
Oh, I love that. Get our loot out. Extractions. Yeah, that was out of control. It was so good. You know what else was... So one thing I would change in terms of that is I would make more than one Dark Zone. I would have one really large Dark Zone for post-game content, you know, mm-hmm. max level. But for early level stuff, I would have a few other ones. Because this one was weird. It was like a rift in the middle of the city. And the further north you went, the harder the enemies got. But you were actually in there with everybody. So the intention was that the people with higher levels would stay toward the higher level areas, but they didn't, right?
That's not true.
Lot of ganking going on. And that, not to say that there shouldn't be, but I just feel like if you separated it, then...
So you're talking about like World of Warcraft and PvP stuff where like, this PvP map is for levels 1 through 10. This yes. one's for 10 through 20.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Right. I don't even know if I would do a lot of them. You know what I mean? I do like 1 through 20 in one section, pretty large chunk. Another one for 20 through 40. And then a really large end content area. So that way it entices people who have hit the max content not to bother those players. They can, and now they know where to go if they want to gank them. But at the same time, they're not getting anything close to what they want. Whereas in this one, when you put it all in the same area, it's like, oh, all I got to do is go 3 blocks that way, and I can kill a bunch of newbies, and then I can come back when this guy respawns. It's like,
yep.
That's too easy. You know what I mean? I feel like it needs to be a bit more separated, personally.
The other one I feel as well is just, as far as some of the loot goes, maybe make it a little bit harder to find ways to obtain better loot, i.e. legendaries or exotic weapons, and kind of vary those a little bit. One of the things I like about Destiny is that, like, when you go through, like, your rare weapons, then your legendary weapons, they look mostly similar.
Right.
Other than some, like, skin. Skin changes.
Yeah.
When you got the exotics, they're the most badass weapons you've ever seen. Like, these crazy, weird designs. And I know the Division is very grounded, but I still think, like, there's enough. People have at least enough ideas on, like, crazy exotic weapon types mm-hmm. that people could get where... If you are in the dark zone in in-game content, maybe you have to group up with a bunch of people to do this somewhat challenging quest in the dark zone, and you're competing against other people. And then if you complete that quest, then the people in your group have a chance to get unlock this crazy awesome weapon in the game.
Right.
And not only do that for like dark zone stuff, but also outside of the dark zone as well.
Yeah.
To at least give people who don't necessarily like the PvP aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm.
To get them, like, and I know they addressed that in the original Division, but also do that for them to give them a chance at some cool loot.
Yeah.
Just to show, like, instead of the same guns with different skins and you have to click on them to see, like, what are the stats? Oh my god, this orange is really cool, but, like, that was so cool about Destiny and so cool about World of Warcraft. When you see that character walk by and you see this, like, crazy looking gun on your back, like, oh dude, I'm not messing with him at all.
No, right.
Like, well, let me see. Oh, dude, this weapon's super, super cool. I would love that. I felt like with loot, I feel like sometimes if you give too much, it devalues what you get.
Oh, I absolutely. Warcraft's running in the same issue. You know what I mean? They gave out those legendaries. Not legendaries. No, they were legendaries, right? Legendaries, the orange ones. The rings,
yeah.
They gave out way too many here in Legion or whatever, and they ended up having, like, a super big problem with that, so they had to scale that back tremendously.
But if you go back to Burning Crusades, when...
There was, like, one or two legendaries per expansion.
And if you see somebody now that has the Twin Blades of Azanoth...
Right.
You're like, oh, crap, this dude went through... He can't use them now, but he'd be like, dude, this guy went through a lot to get these weapons.
Right.
And, I remember when...
There was a hunter bow that came out during Burning Crusade at the very end.
That's true, yeah.
It was the first time...
Kefalos?
It was the first time you could have a bow that didn't run out of ammo. It got ethereal arrows.
The deal.
That was so cool.
And it got kind of going back through on that point, seeing something like that. Like, I remember in Warcraft where you had... It was in Cataclysm where there was a mage staff that you could get, but it was like a guild effort. Like, everybody in the guild had to help this person get these shards and raids and whatnot, but you only have one person in your guild to get it. And if a person in your guild got it, they it unlocked this achievement in your guild, and everybody got this, like, the dragon pet.
Oh, okay.
Because you all got to see this cutscene.
Oh, what a great idea.
And everybody got this. Everybody in the guild, even if you didn't have the staff, you got this dragon pet to show that, hey, we got somebody in our guild who got this.
That's really cool.
And so I think doing some implementation like that to where, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like, if you go in as a group, only one person gets it. But like, if you go in as a group and make it a really challenging effort, you all get, maybe not even the weapon. Maybe like you get the parts, this crucial part you need for this weapon. You still have to grind for everything else.
Right.
You can build together.
Right.
And actually, I didn't even write this on here. That talk kind of bring me to another point.
It brought me to another point too. I'm waiting to use it.
Clan support.
Clan support, yeah.
Guild support.
Yes.
Like some type of guild clan support.
Oh my gosh, yes, please.
To where you could have like, especially on PC, where you could have like guild chat.
Right.
Something to that effect. I would love that.
Yes.
Would love it.
You know what I would love? Mounts. Ooh. I always wanted them to have like a motorcycle or something for you to be able to ride around on through the streets. And instead you had to just use the fast travel. And I was like, honestly, I love the city, but I just don't want to walk through it. I want to spend time in it. I just don't want to walk all the way.
That might be hard to do with just the way that the city's built out with the enemies in there. That being said, I don't know. Would I be okay with giving up fast travel for a motorcycle mount? Maybe.
I would be down with that. And also, I loved everything about it. There was even all those cool chests. They were like randomly throughout the map. And you had to find them. They were like secrets. And man, I remember sometimes, man, you'd just be like, I'm going to go on a patrol. And that's what you would do. I just jump and all of a sudden I'm climbing ladders and I'm on rooftops and I'm going from rooftop to rooftop and now I'm climbing down ladders and now I'm in some kind of crazy chain link fence area that you could only get to if you went through all those different areas and oh, there's a chest and I'm like, this is the greatest game ever. There were so many times I was like, dude, I am loving this game.
Yep.
It was so much fun. Yeah, Yep. More of that. I need more of those moments. Yep. Those were good times.
But no, that's I don't have any more.
No, that about pretty much wraps it up. Just more Division, please. Just everything, you know, turned up to 10. Basically what I wanted the Destiny to do. Figure out your problems, fix them, and then move on and make just way more of what you had before. I'm cool with the first one being light on content based on the fact that you know that you're testing the waters. Yep. The second one had better hit it. I hope they are watching what is happening to Destiny 2. I hope they are watching and taking notes and seeing exactly what errors they're running into and going, we got to make sure we don't do the same thing. We have really great endgame content. We have really good things to keep you engaged. We have
From the money they've made, Ubisoft has done very well. I think from the money alone they've made on the first game, I would be shocked if they did not have dedicated servers. I feel like that's going to be on the Ubisoft press conference. That's going to be probably what closes the conference. And that's going to be like, Division 2 is going to be revolutionary, blah, blah, blah. Dedicated servers. That's going to be one of their big bullet points is that they're going to have that. I promise you. Because like a lot of fans that had PC fans that had trouble with like you did with cheating.
Yeah.
That's gonna be like, yes, I don't have to worry about.
I didn't even go in there that much, man. Like I was generally afraid of PvPE, you know, to begin with. So it's just like I was already not going in there often. Then when you get met with that, you're like, I just won't touch that anymore, I guess.
Yep.
Yep. Agree. So, man, come on, Ubisoft, figure it out.
That's it for the first topic.
Yeah.
We'll have good talks about this one. The second one as well, before the end of the show, guys, I figured this would be just a very nice one to do because this past week was, I think March 8th, that Thursday, was International Women's Day.
Hmm.
Very cool. A lot of big support from social media and everywhere around. So I figured we would sit down and have a quick little chat of just what are our favorite female protagonists in video games to kind of celebrate International Women's Day.
Awesome.
Since my voice again needs rest.
Okay.
Start us off, Chris.
All right. You know, I was thinking about it when you came up with it, but I'm trying to think of female protagonists that aren't necessarily like super duper well known. You know, trying to come off the beaten path. Like you got your Lara Croft and, you know, awesome. Awesome character, especially the new Lara Croft. You know what I mean?
Yes,
there's been a lot of issues with the old Lara Croft where it's like, oh, she just has big breasts and that's why everybody likes her.
I was going to say, like, I could throw Lara Croft out there, but only from the current Tomb Raider. Like,
yes.
Nothing against Lara Croft of past because that kind of helped lead women.
It really did. But I mean, to be fair, it did.
That was very much a male's version of Lara Croft.
It was sad, but true.
How many kids crawled in some cubbyhole with Lara Croft and just kept the camera there for X amount of time? If you can't think of one yet, here are my easy ones. Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
That was another one I didn't want to pick because I was like, I feel like that's a low hanging fruit.
It is, but I'm picking her because of the impact that I've seen her make.
Mm-hmm.
From being a brand new IP. And usually, a lot of people tell you, especially from big AAA studios, that it can be somewhat hard to make a brand new IP. And at least from, I'm sure statistics somewhere, somebody will probably say, you know, boys play this game, so female protagonists, you want to get something that relates to them. That's why right. we have Duke Nukems and Doom Marines and all stuff like that. But I think Sony, especially on the tail end of Uncharted coming out, releasing this game, a brand new IP from a, I would dare say, at the time was a B-tier studio, Guerrilla Games. They were making Killzone. That's all they've made.
Right.
First person shooters. Coming out with that game and how well it did, not only for a lot of other reasons, but also how about Aloy and having that strong female presence throughout that entire story and kind of understanding the story and what she went through.
Right.
Was really, really awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think that I give her credit as one of my favorites purely because of how well Guerrilla nailed her, how much support Sony put on Horizon on a brand new IP even before launch, before they started getting sales figures in. And also, I know I've talked to Will about it as well. Like, I really feel that Aloy is now the new face of PlayStation. Like, now that Nathan Drake has kind of stepped off.
Yes.
I think that Aloy is the one who takes the crown as when you think PlayStation, Sony's going to make sure you're thinking of Aloy. Which, when's the last time you thought of a female when you think talking about like a console, other than maybe Peach on Nintendo?
Kratos, though. They're trying to reinvent Kratos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know that they're putting all their eggs in one basket. I certainly wouldn't say that.
I mean, Sony never does. Like, when you see the splash screen, you'll see Aloy will be very prominent. But yes. You'll also see, like, other characters and stuff coming off the side. And I think as long as God of War, which I'm sure it will be, is very successful, don't worry, Kratos will be right there next to her.
Right.
But I think that it's not going to be something where Kratos is going to be on the box and they're going to, like, lessen Aloy.
Right.
I think that she's going to be right up there with everybody
else. Oh, yeah. No, I would agree with you there.
So, mine's Aloy.
Okay.
One of mine is Aloy.
I just came up with a pretty good one. Okay. We're back original NES.
Okay.
We got a female protagonist, but you don't even know that she is. I'm talking Metroid.
Yeah,
I'm
going to be Samus. I'm talking
Samus Aran.
Samus Aran.
Oh. Yep. Wow, right? Nintendo, way to go putting a female protagonist in a game and not sexualizing her whatsoever. Coulda. Oh, yeah. Maybe shoulda. You know what I mean? And honestly, you could have very easily put her right front and center on the box, you know, given her some ample bosoms and called it a day. And been like, hey, well, yeah, we'll just let that sell itself. And you didn't. You didn't. In fact, you kept it a secret. Most of the time, you didn't even know you were playing as a girl.
You know what I mean? That's the beauty of it, is the fact that you're playing, and as a gamer, especially back then, your assumption...
Yep.
That's the dude.
Obviously.
Obviously, it's the dude. And then you get to the end of the game, and it's blonde hair, bathing suit, ooh, good job. And you're like, what?
Right? So, yeah, you know, that one there, you know, I'm pretty down with. I think that's really cool that they did that. She's gone on to become a major pillar in the female, you know, gaming industry, especially for Nintendo. So, you know, that one for me, it means a lot, you know, considering how old that game is and the time that it came out and the thought that you could have over-sexualized it and that you didn't. Granted... At the same time, you could say that maybe they made a misstep and kind of just, like, misgendering it to begin with and just being like, you don't know what you're playing as. You know what I mean? Oh, it happened to be a girl. It's like, whoop-de-doo. You know what I mean? So on one hand, you could, like, denounce the fact that they did it that way and be like, oh, you should have just told people from the beginning that it was a girl and then it was just a powerful female character. But
I liked the fact that they didn't because it, at the end of the day, at least maybe back in those days, it really necessarily didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the it kind of for this is very period esque, but like for the time, it flipped everything on its head because it really didn't have a female protagonist, and nobody expected it.
Right. Yeah, I'm down with the fact that they didn't put a gender to Samus until the end, and then they're like, oh, by the way, your main character, yeah. Totally a chick.
Surprise.
Yep, I'm down with it only because of when it came out and the fact that it was kind of a groundbreaking thing. Yep. You know, in a world full of Marios and Links, you went, nope, we can do this too. It's like, man, so versatile, Nintendo. Gotta hand it to you. Could have went a different way on that. You didn't. I commend you for it.
Yep. Pulled up a list as well, so.
If you need any help,
yeah, you definitely help out. Another easy one for me. Ellie from Last of Us.
Mm, Good choice.
Again, I'm a gun's not at my head, but like if somebody were to say top 10 games of all time, Last of Us would be on the short list of like the top three, if not the top one.
Right.
It's over Final Fantasy VII and other games like that.
Right.
I loved every minute of that story, and one of the big reasons was just like not only Joel, but also like his interaction with Ellie and kind of how at the time it was, the story being told did not feel, it was traditional, but it didn't feel traditional. And kind of how Ellie was approached, it wasn't just like, you know, it wasn't some damsel in distress. She took care of business, but she was still a girl. She was still a young woman.
Right.
And kind of living in this horrible world and like making some of these tough choices that a lot of people would have to really think about. And she's like, no, I'm going to make this, whether it's for the betterment of the group or whatnot. And kind of doing her own thing and kind of the way they portrayed her as a girl living in this era was very awesome.
Mm.
Very wonderful. So I definitely applaud. Again, super hyped for part 2.
Yeah.
She's older and kind of seeing what she's going to go through at this point. But I was very, I love that game and Ellie was a big reason of it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I guess my next one would be, this is going to be a weird one. It's a weird one, but I think that it matters. Female Commander Shepard from Mass Effect.
Femshep. Okay. No, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
What I like about it is the inclusionary nature of Mass Effect. You know what I mean? Like, you could really do whatever you wanted in that game. You want to be a girl, you could be a girl. You want to be a guy, you could be a guy. You want to have relationships with the same sex, you could totally pull that off too. So, you know, with Femshep, it's like you created a character that was just a character. You know what I mean? With Commander Shepard, it was just like, boy, girl, whatever you want to put it as, that's what it's going to be. And whatever you play it as, however you play it, that's how it's going to work. We're not going to force you into playing a male character and just be like, you know, you have to play it this way because this is the way we wrote the game. And so you can only have certain relationships because that's also the only way we made the game. Like, they opened it up to the point where you could really do what you want, however you want. And I think that meant a lot. So with Femshep, it's like, you know, it's empowering in a sense that you didn't, by choosing Femshep, you didn't feel like you were somehow missing out on some part of the game. You know what I mean? Or in the opposite way, by choosing Male Shepard, same deal. It wasn't pigeonholing you into only being able to experience X, Y, and Z just because you picked that particular gender. Instead, it was like, no, you know, if you want to play the female version of that, if you're a chick gamer and you're just like, I want to be the girl version of Shepard, you weren't automatically going to miss out on X or Y storyline just because of what you did. So yeah. I'm down with that. I think that was a good choice. I think they did a really great job in executing it and holding it over three full titles where you get to carry over that Femshep character all the way up through it. You know what I mean? That was a gigantic game with a lot of options.
Do I have... Hold on, let me take a look here. People on camera can see me, but I'm almost certain.
What's he doing? He's pulling out. He's got Mass Effect in there.
Oh, I don't have the case.
It looks like the trilogy.
This was the Mass Effect 3 Collector's Edition for 360.
Oh, okay.
I still have the like Collector's Edition stuff, but I don't have the game anymore.
Ah.
But the game steelbook, the front cover, if I'm not mistaken, either had Femshep on there. Or it was on, like, you could flip it over and Femshep was on one side of the cover.
Gotcha.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And, like, I think, from what I understand, a lot of people, when they think about Mass Effect 3, they think more of Femshep than they did of regular Commander Shepard. So. one of my picks, Max, and just basically all of the women in Life is Strange.
Okay.
A varied cast of women, but... Look, this is coming from a guy who, yes, I unfortunately still have not beat that game. I'm thinking about doing like a 5-week stream and just going through each episode on each stream.
Oh,
each
that'd
week.
Be cool.
And going through that story again, but that's so real. I've played the first episode. Everything she's experiencing as like a high school girl. I'm not a high school girl, but I've been in high school.
It's so real. True. I've been there, but not really. Not even close.
I've been in high school, but I haven't experienced exactly what she's had. But like, it's so real and so raw. like what she has to go through, you know, time bending powers aside, but like some of the stuff she has to go through, I've seen one part, I think it's in episode one, episode two, and I'm going to spoil it. It's very like, crazy. Like you wouldn't have thought something was, that was going to come in, but a lot of the stuff she has to go through, not only just Max, but like Chloe and everybody else on there was like really, really cool. And I think it transcends just like gender and the fact that there's stuff that anybody can do with, regardless of whether you're a guy or girl.
Mm.
And it was really cool to see. It's one of my games on my backlog. I'm pretty sure I've bought it at least twice on both platforms. I'm sure I got it on PS Plus and Xbox somewhere else, but that is a game.
We got it on Humble Bundle too.
There you go. So it's definitely a game that I appreciate, and one of the main reasons for that is Max, and just like a lot of the way, and not only just the female characters, but since we're talking about the female characters, but just everybody, how that's portrayed and how true to life it feels.
Mm.
We talked about it. So
good choice. I'm gonna go with the current Warchief of the Horde.
No, Sylvanas.
Sylvanas Windrunner. Man, I feel like I've been following this chick for a decade and a half? Almost two decades now. You know what I mean? Like, Sylvanas' story goes way, way back. We're talking way back in the days of the Warcraft 3, pre-WoW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's been around. I've always been a big fan of hers. Her storyline is just so awesome. You know, leader of the undead race. And
do not care for the Horde much, but I've always liked Sylvanas.
Always, always. She's such an excellent character. And yep. What I love about her is, first off, no sexualization really whatsoever. Like, she's just awesome for being awesome.
Okay? Other than her, like, outfit.
A little bit.
In game. Little like when bit. The cutscenes don't look bad, but in game.
Yeah, a little bit. And also, she's just a badass, right? She's just like, to me, she's like Tomb Raider. You know what I mean? She's like Lara Croft. She's just like in it all the way. You know what I mean? Yep. She's during the most recent cutscene for Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah.
Like when she was there and she goes Banshee form and hits the ground and she's just like draining the life of the Alliance. For the Horde! I was like, man, she's such a killer character. Just out of control. Always loved her. Just absolutely, hands down. You know, in fact, when I think back on it now, Blizzard's done a great job with a lot of their female characters. Tyrande Whisperwind. You got Nova from StarCraft.
I was going to add, like, Jaina Proudmoore.
Jaina Proudmoore, for sure.
Like, the way they've taken her story is very good.
Kerrigan's got an excellent storyline. Yep. Oh my gosh! Queen of Blades, man! I'm telling you, the Blizzard has really just like nailed it. They're just like, girls are just as bad A as any guy character is, absolutely.
Agreed.
There's no reason there has to be a difference in your reverie between a male or female character in the Blizzard pantheon of characters, because they're just... they're all so awesome. There's just, like, never a time where you're like, she's a girl, though. It's like, man, who cares? They're all so cool. Maeve's Shadow Song is awesome. Oh, my gosh.
That is cool. Really cool.
I could sit here all night just naming Blizzard characters. They've all done just a wonderful job. Like, I look forward to any cutscene that I get some love for Sylvanas. Any cutscene whatsoever, even the ones where they demonize her, where she's trying to become an immortal, and they're trying to make her out to be like some kind of bad guy. I'm like, I don't care. She's awesome. Like, you do it, girl. You know what you're doing.
You do you. You do you.
Don't listen to that werewolf. He don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, get him out of the way.
I'd agree.
We're busy.
Like, Blizzard has done very well with all their characters, male and female. So, definitely agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
All right.
Then we're going to call it, because that's about as much as my voice is going to be able to. within a continuous period of time here, guys. Any other final comments?
Not really.
Not really? Then, guys, that is it for episode 92 of the Rocket Punch Cast. Thank you guys so much for listening and or watching. Again, apologies. We couldn't get it on stream here, but that's just not, that's out of our control. That's one of those godly powers. Like, internet's still crappy.
Yeah.
As I'm just trying to pull up a webpage. So.
Right.
But if
you have good internet, don't forget to rate and review us.
Yes. Very true. Good plug. Remember, guys, we will be off next week, but we will be back on the week of the 25th. We'll be continuing our episodes and streams, all that other good stuff. So definitely stay tuned on our social media channels on Twitter at Rocket Punch Go, or also on Facebook, so you know what content's coming out each week there. You already mentioned rate and review. Again, rocketpunchgo.com is the place to go to see all of our stuff. Check out all of our content. But that's it, guys. That's all we've got for tonight. We appreciate you guys. I'm going to go drink some more medicine and make my throat feel better. Until next time, farewell.